Turn with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. Father, it's with expectancy that we open your word tonight. We thank you, Father, that you speak to us tonight in a mighty way. By your Spirit, we yield ourselves to you tonight. Spirit, soul, and body, I yield myself to the offices which I'm called and appointed and do stand and the anointing upon those offices. Holy Spirit, we thank you tonight for instructing us, leading us, and guiding us. Amen. Amen. 1 Peter. I got some things that just exploded on me earlier in the week that I just wanted to share with you tonight. In 1 Peter chapter 5, it says this in verse 8. You know this verse. It says, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. But verse 9 says, stand firm against him. Amen? Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Hallelujah. Amen? And so, there's something about a roar. I just got to thinking about this and meditating on this. And there's something about a lion's roar that is unlike any other sound on earth. I did a little research on this. And why does a lion roar? A lion roars, one of the things that happen when a lion roars is that it paralyzes and causes the prey, or those other animals that are around there, it causes them, a lot of them, to just to stop on their tracks, and a lot of times they'll just become paralyzed with fear. They realize there's nothing that they can do. The king of the jungle is here. Amen. Amen. And that roar, there's something about that roar, it's amazing. A lion's roar, this is wild. A lion's roar can actually create a dust cloud whenever they roar. That's pretty powerful. Amen? And something else that I read and saw that it's not necessarily all the force of the air. It's not necessarily that the lungs are so big and all of that. It's the way that their vocal cords have been created, and it's a way that they vibrate together that causes this roar of this lion just to be so amazing. And it can actually be heard up to 5 miles away. Now, that's pretty trippy. Amen? Well, I was back in Tulsa. I forget what month it was. A couple of months ago, whenever I was there with Bethany, last month. Whenever it was, sometime. And we went to the zoo one day, and I remember we were on one side of the zoo, and I kept hearing the lions roar. I said, Bethany, there's lions around here somewhere, and they were so loud. And we pulled a map out and got to looking for them on the signs and the deals, and they were way over on the other side of the zoo. But they were so loud, it was like they were right there in front of you. It was amazing to me. It's like, wow, listen to that roar. A lion's roar. So we get over there and we see him, and he's laying out there. Big, majestic lion with his big mane. He's just laying there looking around like, wow, I'm so glad I'm not over in his, whatever that is, his enclosure. Pretty trippy. But listen to this from the Living Bible. It says, be careful, watch out for attacks from Satan. Be careful. Watch out for attacks from Satan, your great enemy. He prowls around like a hungry, roaring lion, looking for some victim to tear apart. Stand firm when he attacks. Trust the Lord. And remember that other Christians all around the world are going through these sufferings too. Now, Satan, he is continually roaring at us believers. That's what he does. His roar never ceases. He always finds something to roar about. Amen? But we have to be careful that we don't allow his roar to strike fear in our hearts and it paralyze our faith. Amen? I looked the word roar up, and roar means this, and I think it's on there. Yeah, it is. You can write this down. It means to cry with a full, loud, continued sound. To cry with a full, loud, continued sound. It means to bellow as a roaring lion. But I like the next definition. It also means this, an outcry of joy. Now, this is from that Webster's 1828 dictionary. An outcry of joy. Now, that's pretty cool, isn't it? Amen? And so, if the devil has the ability to paralyze us believers with his roar of symptoms of sickness, disease, and pains and things, amen? Financial woes, and praise God. If he has the ability to do this and try to paralyze us with that roar, he can stop your faith from being effective. And that's what he's out for. Amen? Amen. Satan uses fear to paralyze God's people. Don't let him devour you with fear. Don't allow his roar to paralyze you and to stop you. Amen? The only way that fear can devour you is if you yield to it and surrender to it. You can feel fear and not yield to it. There is a difference in feeling fear and surrendering to it. Amen. There's a huge difference there. Satan uses this fear to devour so many of us. He's devoured so many of God's people with fear, and it causes us to live beneath our rights and privileges of being in Christ. Amen. Thank God we don't have to yield to that, do we? We don't ever have to allow Satan's fearful roar to stop us, to paralyze us. And we must never allow his fearful roar to be louder than our roar of faith. You must have a roar as well. Amen. And you have to learn how to roar. Remember the Tony the Tiger commercial? They're great. Amen. So we need to learn what it means to roar. And roar in faith, because faith always has a roar to it. Amen. You can use the roar of faith to paralyze the enemy, to stop the enemy in his tracks. Amen. The roar of faith can and will stop him dead in his tracks. The roar of faith coming out of your mouth has the ability to silence all other roars. Amen. The word of God being roared out of your mouth in faith has the ability to silence the enemy. He cannot stand against a believer that is roaring the word. Amen. Roaring in faith. Sometimes it may seem like it's taken a while, but you know what? You just got to keep roaring. Just keep roaring. Amen? Louder and louder and louder. You know, if you could see, I got to thinking about this, if you could see the lion inside of you, you'd not be afraid of another lion or anything else. Amen? If you could see the lion that is on the inside of you, you would not be afraid of another lion. You wouldn't be afraid of anything. If you knew and you understood the lion that is there on the inside of you. Turn and look at Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. I'm just going to stir you up in faith tonight and encourage you a bit. Is that all right? Revelation chapter 5 and verse 5. Well, verse 4, it says, "Then I began to weep bitterly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll and read it." Verse 5, it says, "But one of the 24 elders said to me, 'Stop weeping. Look, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the heir to David's throne, has won the victory. He is worthy to open the scroll and its seven seals.'" Now, Jesus is known as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. That's who he is. Amen. Who is Judah? Where is Judah? Well, Judah was the fourth of 12 sons of his father, Jacob. Remember that? Amen. Abraham, Isaac, then Jacob, right? So then Jacob had 12 sons, and Judah was one of those sons that he had. And Judah went on to be one of the founders of the 12 tribes of Israel. And Judah was the founder of the tribe of Judah. That's why they called it that, right? So Judah was also a region in Jerusalem. There was a particular region that this tribe dwelt. And Judah was a region there in Israel, which included the city of Jerusalem. And that region then was named after Judah and was called Judah. Amen. And then this gentleman, he was a very important guy. He played a role in saving the life of his brother Joseph. You remember Joseph? Amen. When Joseph's brothers had plotted to leave Joseph in a pit to die, remember that? How Judah, he convinced his brothers to sell him. Amen. To sell him to the Ishmaelites, and the purpose of doing that was to prevent him from dying. So he intervened on his behalf. The ancestry of Joseph, the adoptive father of Jesus, you know, Mary and Joseph, right? That Joseph. The ancestry of Joseph is traced back to Judah. That's all in his lineage. And so is the ancestry of King David. In Jacob's blessing of his 12 sons, you can see this in Genesis chapter 49, he described Judah as a lion cub, saying that he would have his hand on the necks of his enemies and that he would be praised by his brothers. This is what was said concerning him. Jacob's blessing of his son Judah in Genesis chapter 49, it includes a passage that is very traditionally understood by Christians to mean that Judah's descendants would rule over the land of Israel, culminating with Jesus. So then, Judah was a very important tribe. And Judah himself was a very important man. And he would reign there, right, through the time of Jesus. Jesus would come out of that tribe. That's his lineage. So then Jesus then is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. That's where that comes from. He is the Lion of that tribe. He is the one that is the leader. He is the king. Amen. The one that stands at the forefront. Spiritually speaking, the lion represents Jesus' majesty. It represents his power, which is his divinity. But because Jesus is also man, John the Baptist called him the Lamb of God. You remember that? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, right? So then John referred to him as the Lamb of God. So spiritually speaking, this represents Jesus' humanity, being the Lamb of God. Jesus was and is 100% God And he is also at the same time 100% man. The lion of the tribe of Judah represented his divinity. Amen. The lamb that took away the sins of the world represented his humanity, his frailty, so to speak, as a human. He was 100% God and 100% man at the same time. That's pretty amazing. He lived his life on this planet 100% fully God and 100% fully man. He was fully the lion and he was fully the lamb at the same time. He was fully the Alpha and the Omega. Can you see how this works concerning Jesus? Describing who he is, the beginning and the end. Amen. The name or the word Judah can also be translated as praise. Praise. Jesus then is the lion of the tribe of praise. Isn't that amazing? The lion of the tribe of praise. And this lion, he lives on the inside of you and will roar through you if you will allow him to. Amen? Refuse to yield to fear and allow the lion of the tribe of Judah to come up out of you. The praise of God on your lips. Amen? Faith coming out of your mouth, silencing all other roars that the enemy may be roaring in your face. Amen? Oh, praise God. So as believers, then, we do have a roar of victory. Amen? We do have a roar of victory that should be in our mouths. A roar of victory will release the glory of God. Think about that. The roar of victory will release the glory of God. The devil does not want the glory released on the earth. He does not want his glory, his goodness, right? His presence and his power. He does not want him released in the earth because he knows that when the glory is released, he cannot stand or withstand the glory of God. Amen. There is nothing that can withstand God's glory. And when you roar in faith, the very praise of God, the glory of God is released on the scene of your life. Amen. His goodness, his presence, his power then, it goes to work on your behalf. Amen. So we must be mindful to not allow the devil to get us out of faith and try to discourage us with all of his little kitty cat roars. They sound loud and they sound powerful, but the truth is the one that is on the inside of you is far more powerful than the God of this world. Amen? You can silence his roar through the roar of faith. Amen? The devil will constantly bombard you with roars that could possibly shake you or move you. If the devil is going to win, then he's going to have to get you out of faith and into fear. So the purpose of those roars is to get you over into fear. Because he realizes that if you stay in faith, he doesn't have a chance. Amen? He's got to paralyze you with his roar. He's got to get you to receive that roar, so to speak. Amen. The person who is full of faith will always have a roar that will silence all other roars. I don't know about you, but I want to be full of faith. Amen. The person who is listening to the roar of the enemy will be discouraged. Sure will. And won't feel like shouting. They won't feel like roaring. They are moved by what they see. They are moved by what they feel. They are moved by what they hear. The roar of the enemy. Amen. They lose their roar and they are silenced by the enemy when they become fearful. But we must not allow that to happen. Now look over at John chapter 10, verse 10. Ties in with this message tonight as well. John chapter 10, verse 10. It says, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and to destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. The Amplified says, the thief comes only in order to steal and kill and to destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full until it overflows. Amen. Amen. The roar of faith, that continued, ongoing, loud cry, roar, voice of victory coming out of your mouth, amen, will stop the enemy from stealing, killing, and destroying. Don't allow the devil to stop your roar, because he wants to. If he can silence your roar, then he's got your marriage, he's got your family. If he can silence your roar, then he's got your health. If he can get you into fear financially by roaring all of these pressures and all of these things at you, he's got that as well. Don't let him silence your faith. Faith needs a roar. Faith needs a voice. It needs yours. Amen? Don't let him discourage you. Now look over at Psalm 47. I love this psalm. Psalm 47. How many of you got a roar? Have you ever allowed the enemy to silence your roar? We have. We all have. Amen. But once you realize what's going on, we got to turn the volume up, don't we? Psalm 47, verse 1, it says, come, everyone. Who's everyone? That's us, right? Clap your hands. Shout to God, it says, with joyful praise. In other words, roar. Amen? Roar. Shout to God with joyful praise, for the Lord Most High is awesome. Now, that is a word there that we just simply use way too much today. And I've been guilty of it myself. Amen? Awesome. We say awesome so much when actually there's really nothing on this earth that is awesome other than him. There is nothing that we can really truly stand in awe of other than the Creator. He is really the only awesome one. Amen. And so it says here, the Lord Most High is awesome. He is the great King of all the earth. He subdues the nations before us. Excuse me. Putting our enemies beneath our feet. Amen. He chose the promised land as our inheritance. The proud possession of Jacob's descendants whom he loves. God has ascended with a mighty shout. The Lord has ascended with trumpets blaring. Sing praises to God. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. Don't you get it? The picture here, we should sing some praises. There should be some roaring going on here. For God is the King over all the earth. He's the real King of the jungle. Praise Him with a psalm. God reigns above the nations, sitting on His holy throne. The rulers of the world have gathered together with the people of the God of Abraham, for all the kings of the earth belong to God. He is highly honored everywhere. The Message Bible puts it this way. It says, applause, everyone. Bravo. Shout God's songs at the top of your lungs. When was the last time that you were shouting a God song at the top of your lungs? God Most High is stunning. Astride land and ocean, He crushes hostile people, puts nations at our feet. He sets us at the head of the line, prize-winning Jacob, his favorite. Loud cheers as God climbs the mountain, a ram's horn blast at the summit. Sing songs to God, sing out, sing to our King, sing praise. He's Lord over earth, so sing your best songs to God. Isn't that awesome? We need to be singing our best songs to God, not our worst songs. Amen. We have to be careful that we're not crying to God, but how difficult it is, how much trouble it is, and what this one's doing, what the devil's saying. Amen. When he has given us everything that we need to silence the enemy, to paralyze him in his tracks. Amen. Don't allow Satan to silence your roar of praise to God. Amen. Think about everything that God's already done for you. What he's doing for you now and things that you're still standing in faith for him to do. Amen. Think about those things. Don't let Satan hinder God's glory from being released in your life. It's not worth it. Amen. The devil can silence your roar. He can and he will hinder the glory of God from being seen. I want God's glory to be seen. Amen. The believer's roar of praise and victory, it is our connecting point to the glory of God. God's glory is quickly released when there is a roar of faith coming out of our mouths. Amen. We roar the victory before the victory is ever seen. Amen? Some of us need to get our roar back. Some of us have been listening to the wrong roars and been paralyzed by Satan's roars when we need to get our roar back. Start roaring louder. Amen? Praise God. God's glory is released. I'm going to keep saying this every time you roar in faith. The glory of God comes stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. The high praises of God being roared out of your mouth. Amen. Praise God. We have to remember this, that we are partners. Can you say partners? Partners. We are partners with God and his glory. We're partners. We're in partnership here. We must understand that we and God were one. It's not Wayne and God or Robin and God. We're one. That's the way he created it to be. Amen? As far as he's concerned. Look at John chapter 17. You know this. We talked about this a few months ago, but it bears reading again tonight. In John chapter 17. And this was the prayer of Jesus, right? John chapter 17, verse 20, it says, I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. And you are in me, Father, and I am in you, and may they be in us so that the world will believe that you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. I am in them, you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Isn't that powerful? Father, I want these whom you have given me to be with me where I am. Then they can see all the glory you gave me because you loved me even before the world began. Isn't that powerful? Amen. Oh, righteous Father, it says, the world doesn't know you, but I do, and these disciples know you sent me. I have revealed you to them, and I will continue to do so. Then your love for me will be in them, and I will be in them. Jesus is in you. The lion of the tribe of Judah is in you. The very one that prayed this prayer for you over 2,000 years ago prayed that we would be one with him. Amen. You know, growing up in Kentucky, my best friend at the time there, and through school, through elementary school and middle school and high school, my best friend's father had a welding shop. And I used to love to go there on Saturdays, and we would watch him sometimes, and he would weld things. He'd always had a project, always have something going on. I've watched him make trailers. I've watched him make all kinds of stuff. But it always amazed me how he could take two pieces of metal and weld them together, and they would be fused together through this heat and whatever that thing is, that stick, you know, that they stick on their electrode and all of that, whatever. I don't know how it does it. I just know it does it. And then those two pieces of metal, they become fused together, and no longer is it two, but it's one. And it's just as strong as it would be if it was one piece. It is one. That's amazing to me. Amen. I used to be so fascinated by that. Spiritually speaking, we need to realize this, that there has been a fusing or welding of God and man together. Amen. We have been fused together with God. You have been welded. No longer are you two separate entities. Are you two separate pieces? It isn't Wayne and God. It isn't Herman and God. It's God. One with Him. Fused together with Him. That's amazing. Amen? We have become one with God and Christ. It's not a saved man and a glorious God, but a saved man fused into God, and God fused into this man, one divine, holy creation for the glory of God. Now, that's something to roar about, isn't it? Amen? Do you remember Moses at the Red Sea? You remember that? I know they got a movie that's coming out, but I heard it wasn't really biblical, so I'm protesting it. Don't think I want to watch that junk. I'd rather read the Bible and read the real deal. Not let Hollywood mess it up. Amen. But you remember Moses at the Red Sea? Turn to Exodus chapter 14. Let me show you something here. Exodus chapter 14. It wasn't Moses and God. It was God. Exodus chapter 14. I love this event. Can you imagine what it would have been like to have been there in person and have seen this? Amazing. Okay, verse 15, it says, then the Lord, back up to verse 13. But Moses told the people, don't be afraid, just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you, just stay calm. But then verse 15, it says, then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? In other words, Moses must have been praying. He must have been whining. He must have been saying some things to God. He said, why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving. Pick up your staff and raise your hand over the sea. Divide the water so that the Israelites can walk through the middle of the sea on dry ground. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians. And they will charge in after the Israelites. My great glory will be displayed through Pharaoh and his troops. Oh, but he's going to get the backside of it. Amen. His chariots and his charioteers. When my glory is displayed through them, all Egypt will see my glory and know that I am the Lord. Then the angel of God, who had been leading the people of Israel, moved to the rear of the camp. The pillar of fire also moved from the front and stood behind them. Can you imagine what that would be like? Wow. The cloud settled between the Egyptian and the Israelite camps. As darkness fell, the cloud turned to fire, lighting up the night. But the Egyptians and Israelites did not approach each other all night. Then Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the Lord opened up a path through the water with a strong east wind. The wind blew all that night, turning the seabed into dry land. So the people of Israel walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground with walls of water on each side. Then the Egyptians, all the Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and charioteers chased them into the middle of the sea. But just before dawn, the Lord looked down on the Egyptian army from the pillar of fire and cloud, and he threw their forces into total confusion, it says. He twisted their chariot wheels, making their chariots difficult to drive. "Let's get out of here, away from these Israelites," the Egyptians shouted. "The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." When all the Israelites had reached the other side, the Lord said to Moses, "Raise your hand over the sea again. Then the waters will rush back and cover the Egyptians and their chariots and charioteers." So as the sun began to rise, Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the water rushed back into its usual place. The Egyptians tried to escape, but the Lord swept them into the sea. Then the waters returned and covered all the chariots and charioteers, the entire army of Pharaoh. Of all the Egyptians who had chased the Israelites into the sea, not a single one survived. But the people of Israel had walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground as the water stood up like a wall on both sides. This is how the Lord rescued Israel from the hand of the Egyptians that day. And the Israelites saw the bodies of the Egyptians washed up on the seashore. When the people of Israel saw the mighty power that the Lord had unleashed against the Egyptians, they were filled with awe. Now that was awesome. They were filled with awe before him. They put their faith in the Lord and in his servant Moses. Now, many of us have prayed this and said this, and don't get all religious on me and misunderstand the point that I'm trying to make here, but we say things like, "Lord, make me a channel." You ever said that? "Make me a channel." And we're leaving ourselves separated from God in our thoughts and expecting God to pour his spiritual power, to pour his glory and blessing through us. And that's good. Amen. But that's not the highest understanding of this revelation of being one with him. There's a greater experience in God's word. Amen. Than man being just a channel. Yes, in one sense we're channels, but in another sense you are more than that. You are one with God. Amen. Not two separate things. Amen. What if we completely yielded ourselves to God and became one with him in every area? What if I did that? What if you did that? What would our lives look like? What if our church did that? Your whole body, your whole mind, your whole heart, you yielded to God and became one with him. Your whole spirit fused, welded together with God. Wouldn't that be wild? The very thoughts of God pouring through our thoughts because we fuse our mind together with him. We renew our minds with the word. Amen? We fuse ourselves to the finished work of the cross. What Jesus bought and paid for. Amen? Again, when Moses stood at the Red Sea, it wasn't Moses and God. It was just God. When Moses stood there at the Red Sea, he tried to back out of that relationship with God, and he was trying, or actually God was trying to establish this relationship with him. He was growing Moses in a relationship, right? Amen? And he got there, and Moses then began to try to throw this responsibility over back on God, and he began to cry out to God, and he began to pray, and he began to say some things here. Amen? Are you here? He got overwhelmed, like many of us do from time to time. We get overwhelmed because of the roar. Can you imagine the roar that Moses was hearing? the roar of the horse's feet behind him, the roar of the Egyptians yelling, the devil, the lion was roaring. But there was another roar that was still there. Amen. That came out louder. But Moses, he tried to throw this responsibility back over on God that God was giving him. The Egyptians were breathing down his neck with swords drawn. They were ready to take their heads off. This is all on one side of them. Then we had the Red Sea there in front of them, right? Amen. In the natural, think about this. Moses was caught between a rock and a hard place. He was trapped. There's no way out of this. Today, I surely die. Amen. But God told Moses to divide the Red Sea. Amen. God told Moses to divide the Red Sea. When Moses began to recognize himself as an individual and God as somebody separate from him, it became an offense to God. He thought he could back up and pray to God and whine and cry and complain a little bit here, and God would do the same thing that he used to do for him in the wilderness, but God was wanting him to grow. See, we should be growing closer to him every day. Amen. We should be welded, more fused together with him today than we were yesterday. Because God is calling his people to a deeper place of relationship with himself. He's calling us to be one with him, one with his Holy Spirit. He doesn't desire two, but he desires one. And just like you and I, we grow in our relationship with God. Moses was growing in his. Moses and God, they got very close. And then Moses, he began to back up in this relationship, that fusion or welding together of Moses and God. Moses was beginning to lose his roar. That's what was happening here. And that's why God said what he said there in verse 15. He said, "Why are you crying to me? Why are you coming to me with all of this? Why are you crying to me?" In other words, shut up your praying. Shut up your whining. Shut up your crying. Get out there and you do something about it. Go stand there in front of the Red Sea. Lift up your staff and you divide it. Wow. Amen. Notice that God did not say, "Moses, you stretch out your hand and then I'm going to do this." He said, "You just go do this and this is what's going to happen." In other words, I'm backing up what you do. We are fused together here. When you do this, I do that, but it's all one motion because we're one piece. We're one. Amen. Amen. That's what God was saying to Moses. "Moses, you and I, we are one. You stretch out your hand, you divide the sea, you have all there is of me, and I have all there is of you. We are one, we are indivisible." Moses, roar. Amen. And that's exactly what he did. When you reach that place in your relationship with the Father, of being one, life takes on a brand new meaning for us. And we're all growing in this. Are we not? Amen. Amen. And this is where Moses was in his relationship with the Almighty God. When Moses obeyed the Almighty's instructions, the glory of God was released. The glory delivered the Israelites, the children of God. And that same glory that protected them and fed them and took care of them, the backside of it silenced his enemies, wiped them out. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? When Moses roared, the glory was released. Amen. Victory. Victory. Amen. Victory. Maybe, you can find yourself between a rock and a hard place from time to time. Deadlines and pressures and things of this life and things that happen and reports and things that come regarding your family or your kids or maybe even a doctor's report. You feel like there's no place to go, but you just need to stand up and roar. Remember who you are in Christ. Remember who he is in you. Remember the lion of the tribe of Judah that is on the inside of you. And let that high praise of God come out of your mouth. Begin to speak and begin to declare his glory. Begin to release the glory of God through your roar. Amen. As long as you're roaring, the enemy stands no chance. Amen. As long as you're roaring, he will flee from you in terror. Look at James chapter 4, and we'll stop here. James chapter 4, verse 7. It's okay tonight? You got your roar? It says in verse 7, so humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The Message Bible says, so let God work his will in you. Yell a loud no to the devil. In other words, roar. Yell a loud no to the devil and watch him scamper. The devil is fearful of you. Don't you ever be fearful of him. You may feel him. And your hair may be blowing back because of, you know, the roar that's coming out of his mouth. Amen? But you just begin to roar louder. Amen? Remember, the lion that is on the inside of you is greater than any other lion. Amen. Roar. Yes. Amen? Amen? This help you tonight? Yes. Praise God. Are you going to roar? So who is the king of this jungle? The lion of the tribe of Judah. Fused together with you. So when you roar, he roars. Amen? Amen. When you roar, he roars. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. How about we stand to our feet very, very quickly here before we do our tithe and offering. And if you're here close and want to come up here, come up here with us and let's just believe God will continue to roar faith. Amen. Anybody want to join with me? All of these prayer requests, we're going to continue to roar. Silence the enemy. Prayer is the power plant.